Hello and welcome to Sem Torah for Parshat Miketz, for Rosh Chodesh, for Shabbat Chanukah. In this week's Parsha, Yosef is confronted with Paro's dreams, and despite all the attempts of all Paro's assistants, no one is able to solve and to explain Paro's dreams quite like Yosef. Yosef, of course, rises to power, becomes second in command only to Paro, incredibly wealthy, incredibly successful, and incredibly powerful. At that moment, he also meets up with his brothers. After so many years, he meets up with his brothers. They do not recognize him, of course, but he is able to recognize them. We can ask a few questions on this parsha. First of all, why couldn't Paro's advisors solve his dream? A dream about small, thin wheat? A dream about small, thin cows? And not one of them could come up with the idea of a famine? It doesn't seem so challenging with all the advisors that Paro had. It doesn't seem so challenging to solve a dream like that. Question number two, once Yosef provided the solution of the 7 years of plenty and the 7 years of famine, he provides a solution. Save up during the years of plenty to get ready for the years of famine. But what was so great about that, that Paro praises him? I've never seen anybody like you. Who wouldn't think of that? Of course, when it's plenty, if you really think that years of famine are coming, then of course you save up when things are good, when, God forbid, things go poorly. And question number three, which is a very simple question, why couldn't the brothers recognize Yosef? Rashi says because he grew a beard. Maybe it was because it seemed, or at least he pretended to not be able to speak their language. But is that all it took? He had an interpreter? He still were, because of the interpreter, or because of the beard, people were not able, the brothers were not able to recognize their brother? It was a few years, I know, but brothers always recognize brothers. So again, we have three questions. Question number one, why couldn't Paro's advisors solve his dream? It didn't seem that difficult. Question number two, once Yosef provided the solution of the 7 years of plenty and the 7 years of famine, well, he provided a solution. Didn't seem like such an incredibly ingenious plan. Why was Yosef praised for such an ingenious plan? And question number three, why couldn't the brothers recognize their brother? Perhaps one can suggest that the philosophy of Mitzrayim was that of Mitzarim. Things are bound. Things are limited. Things are determined. The way it is the way it always will be. There is nothing we can do to change that. My future is absolutely not in my control. So question number one, we said, why couldn't they recognize thin wheat, thin cows? Perhaps a famine is coming. People in Mitzrayim and people under Paro's rule never even heard the word. They never heard of that before. Remember that the Nile provided water to the farms. It wasn't the rain. Year after year after year, the way things always will be. I've never heard of a famine, and there's no reason to even think. It never even entered my mind that there would be a famine. And that also perhaps answers our second question. Even if they had thought of a famine, okay, so a famine is coming. How can we change that? We can't do anything about that. If we're determined to suffer, we're determined to suffer, and there is nothing I can do about it. However, Yosef and Yosef's life and the way Yosef conducted his life was the exact opposite of that. We can attempt the impossible. We have the opportunity to change our situation. Things may look bleak. However, I can always attempt something that seems impossible. I can always try to do something, even if it seems challenging, even if it seems difficult. That perhaps was the brothers' problem as well. They didn't recognize him because they didn't think that anything was possible. They didn't imagine in their wildest dreams, they didn't imagine that their brother, who they thought was dead, would ever rise to power, still be alive and still rise to power. And yet it's Yosef who teaches us through his actions, and every time he gets knocked down, time after time after time, rather than turn over and say, that's it, the way things are the way things are going to be forever, rather than say, the way things are, the way things are going to be forever, I have the power to change. I have the power to change myself, and I have the power to change my surroundings. That is also, of course, one of the major, important, and central messages of Hanukkah. The Yevanim, they're too strong. They're too mighty. There's nothing we can do about it. And said the Maccabim, and we say today, absolutely untrue. We have the ability, if we attempt the impossible, if we try things, if we believe in a Kadosh Baruch Hu, we believe in the ability of myself and my friends to believe in God and to change my current environment, I can do anything that it takes. Why would I look for oil? There's no oil. There's oil, but it's not tahor. I'm never going to find even a tiny pach shemen that has the chotemet still of the Kohen Gadol. It said the Maccabim, absolutely not. I'm going to attempt the impossible. I'm going to try things. I'm going to believe in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because I know that because of Him, who is all-powerful and all-knowing, once I place my trust in Him, I can do anything that I dream. Emir Tzah Hashem, we ourselves in our own lives on this Rosh Chodesh, we are going to experience hitchadshut. The way things were last month are not necessarily the way things have to be. If they were good, absolutely, keep growing, keep building, so that next month will be even stronger and even higher than we were. And if, chas v'shalom, we suffered a setback here or there in our personal life, in our spiritual life, it's hitchadshut. It's a brand new month. And now I have the ability to say, I'm going to attempt the impossible, and I can change things. Halavai, Eitzel, all of us, have a Shabbat Shalom.